Running a call center is tough. Leading a sales team is a challenge. Luckily, your hosts know what it takes to succeed. What you can expect from your two guides? Conversations that won't be overly scripted. Definitely not salesy or boring. Just filled with as much value as possible. Each week, Jason and Oliver will bring you topics to help scale your team, increase profits, and actually feel like you are winning. So, if you are ready to up your game and become the best in the business, tune in, take notes, and be prepared to learn. And here they are with another episode of Call Center Confidence. It's Jason Cutter and Oliver Katt.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And welcome back to Call Center Confidence with Cutter and Katt, episode number 7 of season 2 in our top mini-series all about people. And it wouldn't be happening without my amazing co-host, Mr. Jason Cutter. Is welcome here. How you doing, Jason? You good?
I'm doing great. As always, love our conversations, topics, and everything that we have going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, episode 7. If you're not already following us or subscribing to us, don't forget we're on every social channel, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. You can even follow our podcast. We're on pretty much every single podcast supplier out there. So check us out, download our episodes and catch up if you haven't already caught up with the previous 6 episodes of this mini season. But we've got 2 episodes left. We're here in episode 7. And where are we going to go today, Jason? What's our top topic today?
Well, I think as this evolution has gone, kind of as we start each one of these episodes, it's a continuation of where we've been, right? So we looked at individuals, we're looking at the people side, we look at, you know, recruiting last episode, number 6. And then this time we're now going to look at the managers and talk about how the managers struggle and fundamentally ways for them to succeed as much as we can fit into our 20 minutes here, our target, our goal. Sometimes we succeed at 20 minutes. Sometimes, we go a little over, which is what we do here. So the topic, and this is where I'd love to hear you start on this, because I know you have a ton of experience with this from your side, is why do some sales leaders get bogged down in the details, get bogged down in other things that may or may not be helpful, useful, or part of what they should be focusing on to help their sales team succeed?
First of all, good question. Second of all, too many things to mention, but I'm going to start in one key area with this one. I think this is probably one of the first and foremost things that any leader worth their soul gets stuck in. And this isn't their fault. This isn't, you know, the reason, you know, why they start going down that dark and gloomy path of getting bogged down in the detail. But the first one is having too much detail. And I think you see it a lot with so many different contact centers, operations leads, sales managers, VPs, whoever it is, you know, they're looking at their reporting. And the problem you have is, in my opinion, when companies have too much data that nobody knows really where to start, especially for new leaders who haven't been given the guidance, which we've spoke about over the last few episodes. But I think when you have too much information in front of you, and that goes for any job that you're doing in the world, you don't know where to focus your time and energy. You don't know where to really kind of get down into the nitty gritty and think, well, this is what I need to fix. This is what I need to do. And it becomes overwhelming. And nobody likes to be overwhelmed. And I think that's where I really think we need to kind of start with this, and also give people some top tips on how to not be overwhelmed and how to come out on this on top. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And there's an interesting transition that happens when, in most organizations, people are promoted from within. So you've got this salesperson, either they're really good and that's why they got promoted, or they have a pulse and that's why they got promoted. It can vary based on organizations like we've talked about. But as a salesperson, you have a limited view of the organization, the operation, the metrics, the KPIs, the reporting. You know what you do. Your job is to sell widgets, and you know your numbers, and a good salesperson is going to know the number of dials, the number of emails, the conversations, you know, what their conversion is along their process, their sales process. And then what happens is you move up to management, and then it's like the curtain is pulled aside and you see everything, right? Yep. If it's done well. There's also times where people move up and they still don't have access to anything, but they're supposed to manage and coach the game, but they still don't have any numbers. But usually it's an overwhelming amount. The curtains pulled aside and you see like all these things. Now all of a sudden marketing wants this and customer service wants that. And they have their numbers and how does that affect it? And then it, like you said, it just becomes overwhelming because now you've gone from one KPI, which is closed deals, to all these other KPIs and all this overwhelming stuff. And then how do you prioritize it? And I think that's one of the big keys is for managers, leaders who feel like they're bogged down in too much detail and too many stats and metrics is understanding what are the key key performance indicators, right? The actual key, because it's a key performance indicator. It's not the keys. It's not the bucket of, it's the key performance indicator. And so what does that look like?
Well, I'm going to throw a Jason Cutter curveball in here and I'm going to give you a minute to think about this one. All right. So I'm going to elongate the question just so I can put you on the spot with this, right? Now, obviously, we can't be specific because, you know, every company is different, every campaign is different, every contact center is different, right? But if you were to summarize, you know, your kind of key three metrics that you would look at. Now, you know, at a ballpark figure here, you know, either conversion rates or, you know, calls answered to conversion sales or average handling time, whatever it might be, right? If you were to summarize three key areas of productivity and KPI metrics that you would kind of use as a foundation to build everything else into, where do you think most sales managers could take benefit from this and go, all right, I'm just going to look at these three for the time being. I'm going to keep my eye on the rest of them, but these three are what I'm really going to work on. What would you suggest here?
Yeah, that obviously finding three KPIs general for any industry to use. I think the biggest thing is obviously selling effectiveness, closing effectiveness. And that's different than closing percentage. Closing percentage is usually like, I got 10 of these and I close this many and here's what I've got. I created this formula called closing effectiveness score, which is if I've got 10 different lead types or five different lead types, they all should close at different rates because there's different expectations. A cold lead, a warm lead, direct mail, TV ads, whatever that looks like. And so you have to find a way to balance all those at once and give them one score. So whatever it is, closing effectiveness, closing percentage, you got to have that, obviously. To me, one of the big metrics is the speed or time to close, depending on what your industry is, whatever your metrics are. I mean, sometimes it's mostly a one call close. So it might be one day or 0 days or just a little bit over. Sometimes it might be 25 days. That time to close is really important because that'll tell you the health of the pipeline and if you're advancing. And then for me, it's not always the most popular one for sales leaders. I'm always looking at retention. I'm always looking at client retention long-term because that will tell me if my reps are saying the right things, doing the right things, and how that goes because I, as a sales leader, I care about the company, the clients, and the overall revenue, not just throwing fish in the boat and hoping that it works out.
All right, look, three top tips there straight off the bat. Boom, nailed it. I'm going to back every single one of those up completely. You know, I love it when sometimes you and I disagree on things and, you know, we have those kind of discussions, but I can't really, you know, separate any others that I wouldn't not have within the top three. I mean, there's a few others that if you went to top five, top 10, et cetera, you know, you could change that. Yeah. But these three are really crucial to any sales leader out there. And I really want to focus on one that you picked up on, which is the time to close. Every company has a sales cycle that can be, as you say, 1 hour, 1 day, 1 call, 1 month, whatever it might be. Once you can start to measure that, you can really start to measure your team's effectiveness, their productivity, and everything else that comes with it. And I know we're focusing on why sales leaders get bogged down, but I think this is a really crucial point here for any sales leader out there. Is that if you can put everything down to a number and you can measure it effectively, that can be the key difference to you supporting your team, churning your team, and being a successful team in the industry that you're working in. And I would tell any sales manager worth their salt, that is one metric to have right there, because if you can measure it, you can manage it, and you can be successful. Top tip, straight off the bat.
Yeah, and I think with that time to close, like you reiterated, I mean, the time to close will tell you how the individuals are doing, how the team is doing, and then how the marketing is doing by lead source and marketing source, right? And that will tell you where to spend more time, more effort, what's healthy. That's one of those big red flag indicators where it's like, wait, why are things taking longer? Why is this source not closing fast enough? How are we doing? And then again, the retention. the reason I love matching it with the retention is, okay, so they're closing really fast, but those deals are garbage and most of them are canceling or wanting a refund or causing complaints. Yeah. That's not good either, right? So when you look at those three, that's like the magic for me. So when it comes down to them, managers being bogged down, I know one of the big things for me is I see that a lot of times somebody gets promoted, somebody's in a leadership role, in a manager role. Usually what happens is there was a hole in the org chart, right? So either somebody got promoted up, let's say that's the best case scenario. Someone got promoted out and is no longer in the organization. And or that spot has never been filled. But most of the time when a new leader or manager gets into a role, there's some level of chaos and mess that's being handed to them. Yep. They're jumping into. One of those that can get people bogged down is that the upper leadership doesn't fully understand what that manager, that leader should be doing, right? If they're a sales manager, there's things they should be focusing on for their team. And then there's a whole bunch of stuff that distracts them, like endless emails, like meetings about meetings that then lead to emails about meetings, and all of these things that then distract it.
Yeah.
Where do you see that? Like, how often do you see that being an issue where the manager's just like stuck in their office on emails and meetings all the time instead of actually doing what they should with their team?
Do you know what? I'm going to take this back down to one example of somebody that I was coaching last year, right? And the minute you said the meetings about meetings and being stuck into everything else, it literally made me shudder. Right. Yeah. And I'll tell you why. So this one in particular individual approached me and was like, hey, look, we need to figure this out. We need to figure that out. And one of the earliest things that we kind of started discussing was their time management, because everything was suffering because of their time management. Now, it wasn't actually their fault. They were pulled into so much stuff off the floor that on a weekly basis, out of a 40-hour week, they spent 2 hours a week with their team. Mm. And they were sucked into client meetings. They were sucked into productivity meetings. They were sucked into pitches and proposals for more work. And it was an outsourcer I was working with. And it was a real interesting challenge for me to kind of get this guy to push back a little bit and work with them in more detail. And I see it over too often now. And I think having that really opened my eyes, because we all have, you know, it happens for every single one of us. We all get stuck into something. And we always get pulled into those emails that just pull our time. Oh, can you put this report together? Yeah, it's only going to take 8 hours. Well, why is that not automated, you know?
Yeah.
And that was one thing that we started to look at, is all the stuff that he used to do, we found a way to have it automated, or to put it into the workforce channel, or to put it into, you know, the QA team or stuff like that. Because I think, and it wasn't about him pushing back, but he became responsible for this stuff. And this happens to every manager out there, where you step into a role and you inherit bad behavior. You inherit bad processes because nobody's ever pushed back before. And then all of a sudden, because you don't know any better, then somebody says, oh, well, Can you do this as well? And can you do that as well? And before you know it, that snowball effect just wipes out your week. Anyway, long story short, we automated probably 50 to 60% of the reporting and the analytics that he was doing. And we outsourced it straight to another team within the business that already had the functionality to do that. Long story short, by the time we'd nailed that, and then we'd nailed the productivity with the team, with the training and the coaching, he went from 2 hours a week instantly within about 2 weeks of working with me to about 30 hours a week of being able to spend that time with the team. Now, that was a mixture of one-on-ones, side listening, coaching, development, management training from his level to the team. And it just flipped like that. Now, don't get me wrong, everybody then gets sucked back into things and it's about staying on top of it. But again, that's a huge increase. Now, the reason why I'm excited about it opening my eyes is because when I actually got to work with a lot more call centers, you saw more of it and more of it and more of it. And I thought, well, hang on a minute. When I worked in that contact center operation, and when I was a manager and when I was a trainer, I thought that was just me. Plain and simple, it's not. It's everyone. So my top tip there is automate what you can, farm out what you can, and just pass any information that can be delivered by somebody else who already has the tools to do it, to make sure that they're involved every step of the way.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's one of my things. I've said it every year for years. I would say it this way. It's 2022. Why are we doing reports by hand, right? Like, why are we doing anything? I literally could grab my phone and order food to be delivered to my office, and short of having someone just eat it for me, like literally I don't have to do anything. I'm going to go anywhere, right? It's like, why are we doing that? So automate, like you said, what you can. Outsource it, find someone on the team that can do it, that can help. The biggest thing, and you mentioned this, and it's super important, and I know that myself, I learned this early on and got really good at this, and this is what I support others on, is that most of the time managers, right, managers and leaders feel like, and most people do, is if their boss tells them to do something, they need to do it. Or if it's implied that they should be doing things, going to meetings, responding to emails within seconds, like that's what they feel they should do.
Yep.
Like you said, managing your manager, one of the greatest skills any manager or leader can do is to manage up above them and to have that conversation, not to push back, not to be resistant, not to, to be defiant and not going to do it, but it's to have that conversation and say, hey, boss, here's all the stuff that I'm doing. My main KPI is to make sure that we have this kind of a closing rate, or we're hitting these numbers every day. Which do you want me to do? Which is more important? And just put it that way, right? Like any manager, any employee, literally, if you feel like you're getting too many tasks and it's derailing you from what you think your job is to do, ask that question. And I've done that many times to CEOs, and they make, you're right, focus on that. Or they say, no, this is more important to me than that. And that's okay too. So that's a huge thing, is just make sure you manage to the KPIs. If your boss said, here's your number one goal, and then it feels like you cannot achieve that because of all this other admin hell and emails and just all this other stuff, have that conversation. Just be like, okay, how do I win? How do you think I win? Yeah. And they will usually pull back and help you. So I think that's the key thing. And then the other thing I would add, I know you want to jump in. The other thing I would add too is that, it's also really important to understand where you are in the org chart. And I don't mean from like a leadership and who's more important. I mean, a prioritizing the team versus the strategy and the admin, right? If this was a battlefield, there's the frontline troops. There's the person that's there along with them, which would be a team lead in a call center sales environment, supervisor. And then you've got the next person up, right? That's got to make sure they're okay, but they're looking at the battlefield, and then the 5,000 foot view, the 10,000, the 30,000, you got the general, like the CEO high enough up. So you got to know, like if you're a branch manager, call center manager, team lead, like your job is the troops. You've got to keep them alive, and anything else is a distraction that could lead to basically damage and harm on the battlefield. Once you get to a higher level, you've also got to be careful on the inverse, which is don't get bogged down in the day-to-day of the team, because that's not your priority. You're focused on the strategy and the higher level. You got to make sure everything's in place. Like if you're dealing with too many issues or complaints or drama from the team, and it's keeping you away from making sure marketing's lined up and the strategy is there and recruiting is there, it's also bad. So it's not just about like ignoring the emails. It's about knowing what your job is on the battlefield.
100%. And look, I just want to touch on something that you kind of brought to the forefront of my mind, actually, with a comment you made a minute ago about when it comes to prioritizing the team and knowing where you are in the organization. There was a company that I was working with last year, and the way that they operated their management team is, we all know this horrible, high-end, ridiculous story where, you know, top performers get promoted into management roles. It happens everywhere. It still does. This client specifically, the way they operated was the managers were created out of the sales team based on their performance. And then at which part they were able to then step up with a new title, a base pay increase. But then because they were the manager, they were then taking commission off of the sales that were made on the team beneath them to encourage them to sell more and everything else. Now, this is where it gets tricky and everybody's going to have their own opinion. However, what would happen is the newly appointed sales manager would also still have to achieve weekly sales targets on top of managing the team. Now, they weren't allowed to step away from the sales floor until they'd hit their minimum criteria. So what happens is you've now got a sales manager that is on the phone selling. Now, bearing in mind, we all know that outbound sales, inbound sales, things like that. Some of it is down to luck. It's who you're dialing. It's the lead that you get and everything else, right? Yep. But it's also down to the skill of the specific agent. But what would happen is, let's say the sales manager wasn't able to meet their sales manager quota. They could stay on the phone all week, which would then allow the sales team to do whatever they want without getting the support of a leader, without getting the support of a manager. And things would just go awry very, very, very quickly. I obviously put my two cents in, and the company didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to listen to it. They went, no, this is what we do. This is how we do it. And look, I worked with them for a little while. We eventually parted ways on that because for me, you still need to make sure that the team manager has time to at least do some of the management duties that keeps them in that position. And they weren't allowed to do any. And, you know, like I said, everybody's going to have their own opinion on whether that's right or whether that's wrong. It was an interesting situation, but that team, they were not getting any leadership, any coaching, or any direction from their sales manager, sometimes weeks on end, because they weren't hitting the manager quota, which was still slightly less than an agent, but awkward nonetheless.
Such a dysfunctional setup with that. And I think one of the biggest lessons when I hear that is for a broad sense, because I've never seen anyone set it up that way, which is obviously that's why it didn't work, is just to focus on that prioritizing for yourself. You're listening to this and you're a manager, you feel bogged down, prioritize, focus on the KPIs, what's most important, and then talk to your manager about it, right? It's not just, I'm just going to ignore everything else and never check my email because my KPI is closed deals for the team. It's about understanding what you're supposed to be doing and then structuring around it. Time management, task management, prioritizing. I think that's key. And then if you're a manager listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, I am totally abusing my managers below me by overwhelming them with unnecessary admin stuff for their role, then just prioritize. Just cut out what you can, outsource what you can, you know, pull back the meetings, the emails, set the right expectation. Hey, you get emails, you don't have to answer them within 4 seconds, right? Like, focus on what you're focusing on. We'll be okay. We survived for millions of years without responding to emails right away. Like, it's okay. Unless it's in this category, right? Like,
some people will be having heart attacks with what you're saying right now.
I know. And if you're in a business where you need the triage and you need to respond to emails right away, or it's life and death on that sales process, I might also question you, do you really have a good sales process and a good team? If that's the make it or break it on deals, you know, that's a whole different topic. I won't even start on that here, but I think this is a good place to stop. We could have stopped a while ago, and we could have also made this a really long episode like we used to do. One of the biggest things, and I'm sure you are going to mention it, but I'll mention it since I'm closing us out here, is I actually just published a new ebook a couple of weeks ago. It's called The Sales Consultant's Guide to Being a New Team Lead. Now, this episode's not about being a new team lead, but there's a bunch of stuff in there that Oliver and I both know that would be helpful in these kind of situations. That's in that ebook. If you want, you can email me directly and I'll just send you that as a PDF. I also have a worksheet for managers, you know, just as a guide, just as something that's on my side from my consulting side, but you know, I think it would be helpful in this scenario, just as some other resources to kind of pull back or set yourself up for success. So and that's it for this episode. We're going to close out episode 7. So glad everybody who's been tuning in. If you're on any of the platforms where we show this, we play this, you know, it's on Facebook, it's on LinkedIn, it's on YouTube. We have our own channel. If you aren't aware of that, make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Call Center Confidence. All the episodes are going on there. We're putting more short clips on there. Also, like Oliver said in the beginning, Instagram. If you're listening to this on the podcast, make sure to subscribe so that you get all of these episodes as soon as they come out. And then, of course, that will also show it to other people that might be interested in these kind of shows, these kind of podcast kind of topics, and you know, help us on our mission to help call centers with their confidence and their effectiveness. And that's it for Oliver and myself. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you on the next episode when we dive into training programs.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Call Center Confidence Show with Cutter and Kat. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. We really appreciate that effort. For more info about the show, you can always go to www.callcenterconfidence.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.